right.
So welcome. This is our Jam Masters segment. We have this every Wednesday, and we bring friends of ours in who help us to learn more about particular topics, people we consider experts in their field, and Dr. Joyce Jefwa has met the bill, put it that way. Yeah. So karibuni sana. And we'd like to start with, tell us a little bit about who you are.
Okay, thank you very much. I'm a scientist, and I want to tell people that it's not a mysterious thing to be a scientist. I'm an ordinary person who just happened to be in science. I work in plants and fungus, mm-hmm. and environment as well. I happen to be a scientist through my journey.
Was that what you wanted to do?
No, not necessarily. I loved history and chemistry.
Okay.
They all end up with street.
Street, yes.
So I really loved the history and chemistry. But in my school, they would not allow that combination. Mm-hmm. But somehow, even in science, there's history. So then I learned to appreciate my science well, because it's you learn about the first people who did what you're doing. Mm-hmm. Before you actually do it to another level. Mm-hmm. So then I have managed to fix my history in science as well. And in science, I studied it was physics, biology, maths, and chemistry. Then I was called for biology and education. Mm. Then I majored in botany. Now, after my degree, I thought, okay, I'm going to teach, but I wanted to do research so badly.
Yeah.
I wanted to do microbiology. I tried to apply to Kabete to go and do agriculture so that I can fit into microbiology, but it didn't work. So I went ahead and did my biology and education. Then one time there was an advertisement, and the National Museums of Kenya wanted somebody to work on restoration,
yes,
using microorganisms,
yes,
and a water-absorbing polymer. And also they wanted a scientist who would do propagation. So I applied for both. I say that
because you could do all of those three things.
Yes, I felt I could do them.
Yes.
So I applied for them, and I was called for an interview.
Yes.
And the lady who called me for an interview, I had admired for a long time. Mm. You know, there used to be rainbow magazines, mm-hmm. when you were children, yes. then. And I read about her, Christine Kabuye. She had written about grasses in this rainbow magazine.
Wow.
And I thought, what? How can somebody write so much about grasses? So when I met her at the interview panel, I was fascinated. And she asked me, what do you want to be interviewed in? I said, both.
Yes,
I wanted both.
You're a perfect example of, yes. someone who took the bull by its horns, and yes. you took the opportunity that presented itself.
Yes.
Look at that.
Yes. Mm. And they laughed, and I said, yeah, both, because I liked both. Then they told me, no, we'll interview you in this one where there is mycorrhiza.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's where the journey mycorrhiza. Yeah, we are with you. As we know what that is.
Yeah, as we know.
But yeah. for the benefit of our listeners, yes. tell them what mycorrhiza is.
Yeah, yeah. So my first job had mycorrhiza and restoration.
Yes.
And I of course I knew mycorrhiza was fungus. Yes. Myco was fungus.
Yes.
And rhiza was root.
Myco fungus.
Yes.
And rhiza
root. Yes, rhiza.
Uh-huh.
So I was not sure what I was going to do with mycorrhiza in restoration.
Yes.
But I passed my interview, yes. and I was taken for restoration,
yes.
At the National Museums of Kenya. That was unique because National Museums of Kenya is the national repository for cultural and natural heritage.
Yeah.
And it's housing the biggest collection in the region, not just in Kenya, mm-hmm. in the region of biodiversity collections. That's plants and animals, the biggest collection.
In the region.
Yes. Mm. Everything that is living in Kenya except for human beings is preserved at the National Museum.
But some of you are also there. Some of you human beings are also
there. The evidence of human beings is the culture.
It's the culture.
So
yes.
Every culture.
And the brains that are working there, please.
Yes.
This is amazing. I have so many questions for you based on what you've just shared. And that was just your journey. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You described that as your journey from where you started, wanting to study history and chemistry, to where you currently serve. We're going to go into the business news right now.
Yeah.
And when we come back, we'll ask you now more about the business side of the work that you do, even as we continue to celebrate World Environment Day and World Environment Week. World Oceans Day today. So you've talked about polymer, water. We'll talk about all those things. This is The Jam with Dr. Jeffwa.
Dr. Jeffwa, yes.
Yes.
Happy birthday to you from one of your nieces, the many ones that you have. Aluso Majale, Bill Odongo's daughter, has said,
nice.
Happy birthday, Auntie June.
Thank you.
And then she said, Uncle Martin, the song you played for June, that is called June, was not very fast. She wants a faster song. So she's saying, the next song that comes that is happy is for you.
Yes. Thank you, Aluso. Thank you for telling Uncle the right thing.
All right, we're going to the business news. We'll be back. Jam Masters on The Jam.
Indeed. And of course, it's Jam Masters.
Yes.
These sessions get me really excited because I feel like next time I sit at dinner and I just say, you know, if we take my Coriza seriously, then they'll be like, oh my gosh, June knows so much. Yeah. And I'm like, it's because Dr. Joyce can talk to us as our Jam Master today. So we continue our conversation, learning from you.
Yeah, and there are a couple of people who are also tuned in right now, learning from you. Mm-hmm. Tim Ryungu says, hey, this reminds him of his biology teacher in school.
In school,
one
yes.
Mr. Muganda. Yep, remember that one as well. Interesting conversation and learning a lot. This is Pirate's Kid, a Naughty Angel. At Naughty Angel. See what happens when you have a funny name online. We are serious here. But then I have to say it. On Twitter, by the way, interesting conversation and learning a lot. That's a Naughty Angel says, well done. Yeah.
Okay. So we want to now jump into a little bit about now the actual work that you're doing, because I know it is tied to some projects. And you know, we just before we signed off earlier, we were talking about World Environment Day. Mm-hmm. And I know that there are projects that you're working on right now at the National Museums of Kenya, specifically to do with a particular forest. So I wanted to ask you if you could share that with us. Earlier in the week, we asked Kenyans if they could tell us which forest they have been to. And the answers were very few. We were very shocked that we don't know our own forest. Yes.
Okay. I'll talk about the project that we are involved in, which is funded by the National Research Fund.
Okay.
That is the government.
Yes.
And this project is on wild edible mushrooms.
Wild edible mushrooms.
And some of the mushrooms are mycorrhizal mushrooms.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So wild edible mushrooms, what we are doing in that is we have always taken mushrooms as soups in our restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
We eat a bit of chunks of mushrooms sprinkled somewhere.
Mm-hmm. On a pizza or something.
Yes. But all these are exotic mushrooms.
Oh.
They come from outside. The seed is coming from outside.
Okay.
They are cultivated here, but the seed is from outside.
Okay.
In Kenya, we have our own diversity of wild edible mushrooms in our many forests. If you go to Cherangani Forest, which is a beautiful forest, you'll find mushrooms growing there. Mm. If you go to Mount Kenya, the coastal region, Loita, we have gone to all these places just to collect wild edible mushrooms for conservation and domestication, because we want to domesticate our own mushrooms for consumption. If you go to Western Kenya, you'll find some of the wild mushrooms in the market. They have been collecting and selling wild mushrooms in the market.
I have a question about wild mushrooms, because we've watched a lot of movies that have also been imported.
Yeah.
And we see, you know, people, like kids going out with their Girl Scout group or Boy Scout group, and they are in the forest and they are told, don't eat that fruit, don't eat that plant, don't eat that mushroom. So by the time somebody is packaging for sale, it means we know that the wild mushroom is safe for consumption. Is that part of the the work that is being done?
Yes. We depend a lot, especially for our local mushrooms, we depend a lot on indigenous knowledge.
Okay.
We know that our communities have been consuming these mushrooms since time immemorial.
Yes.
And they know them. And so we depend on them to tell us which is edible. And also we are informed by science with what is edible.
Yes.
But yes, mushrooms can be very dangerous to just collect and eat because they have toxins that affect either the nervous system, cardiac system, the circulatory system. Mm-hmm. So one has to be careful not to just go and collect mushrooms. And that's why we want to domesticate our indigenous wild mushrooms so that they are available and people can cultivate them. And we can find them as part of our diet in our households and in restaurants.
Okay.
So then what we normally do is we collect as much of information about these mushrooms, and we get the material to, it's a multidisciplinary project and also multi-institutional project. We are working with University of Nairobi, Technical University of Mombasa, Masinde Muliro University, and CALRO.
So everyone has a section of this whole...
CALRO?
Yes, CALRO.
Who are those?
Kenya Agricultural and Livestock Research.
Uh-huh.
The former CARI.
Okay.
Yes.
It's now CALRO.
Yes,
okay.
It's CALRO. Okay. So it's multidisciplinary, multi-institutional.
Okay.
We collect with the National Museum's expertise is in identification, classification, and naming, which is the science of taxonomy.
Okay.
And the Masinde Muliro is, together with National Museums, are dealing with the phytochemicals. That is the toxins and the minerals and the biochemicals
that might be found within the mushrooms or around.
Yes, that's what Masinde Muliro is dealing with.
Okay.
Nairobi University is working on relatedness of the species to confirm that, you know, this species is actually related to those that are already edible, so that you don't make mistakes.
So, and like relatives of this particular...
Yes.
Okay.
Using molecular tools, you know, using...
It's like the DNA of mushrooms.
Yes, you have to use the DNA.
Yes.
So we'll be right back. Our Jam Master today is Dr. Joyce Mnyazi Jefwa.
Yes.
She's a specialist in mushrooms.
And so passionate. And I feel like I should have a notebook. I should be writing notes. But you're explaining it so clearly. So thank you so much. And we'll be talking more. I can't wait.
When we come back, we shall find out the nutritional value of mushrooms and if it can feed a whole population easily, and how easy it is to grow them. How they don't just grow them by themselves.
Yeah.
And also, we're going to be going into the sport. Remember, KCB are sponsoring the WRC Safari Rally. They've injected 100 million shillings into this particular event happening on the 23rd to the 26th of June, Gashui.
Yes, indeed. And I'm wondering if one of the side events can be an excursion into a forest in the Naivasha Nakuru region out if we can find mycorrhizas.
So we'll do that, and we can follow all the action online on at KCB group pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can feel the roar. Use the hashtag feel the roar. KCB, go ahead as we go into the news headlines and the sport right now. This is the Jam. The Jam, June Gashui, Martin Karaoke here. It's exactly 9 minutes past 4:30.
Indeed.
Here on the Jam. We have a Jam Master.
We have a Jam Master in studio, Dr. Joyce Mnyazi Jefwa. My goodness. Me, I'm reading her bio.
And all I can say is many ologies, many strees, many risas, many domestication micros, oceans. And I'm glad you're here to break it all down for us. So we were talking about forests and the sort of engagement with communities when you were sharing how you rely on, you know, indigenous communities to guide you, because they've had the history, the traditional knowledge, knowing this mushroom we can eat, this mushroom has this quality, has this advantage. And I know when we were talking off air, you were saying there's some more community engagement that you're doing, specifically with the Kaya Sacred Forest?
Yes, yes. Okay, the Kaya Forest are UNESCO heritage sites.
Okay.
Under the management of the National Museums of Kenya.
And they're located?
They're located in the coastal region.
Okay.
Across 200 kilometer stretch along the coast. They're about 52 or 56.
Forests?
Yes, fragments. Fragments of the forest.
Okay.
But about nine are UNESCO heritage sites. And because we have all this science at the National Museums of Kenya, it's a multidisciplinary area. Everybody has their own knowledge. We normally go to this forest. They have a lot of course, indigenous knowledge of their own. And these are cultural sites. So to conserve them, you know, we have to make sure that we introduce something that they identify with. So we have identified nature-based enterprises which we work together with the communities so that to improve their livelihoods. And we take into consideration that, yes, we want to conserve them, but the forest has needs that they have to meet their needs from the forests. They have to get their firewood from the forest, constructional material from the forest, medicines from the forest, foods from the forest.
Yes.
And these are small fragments. So with time, because the population is growing, these forests are becoming highly threatened.
Yes.
And alternatives have to be found. If we must take care of forests, then we must find alternative livelihoods for the communities. So that when we speak about conservation, we are telling them, we are also trying to make sure they have enough to eat.
Yes.
They have enough firewood, an alternative source of energy.
Yes.
They have alternative constructional material. So as National Museums of Kenya, we have some working on insects, based enterprises, culture-based enterprises, and plant-based enterprises.
Okay.
Amongst the plant-based enterprises, it's homestead gardens, nurseries, and even mushrooms fit into the plant-based enterprises. In the insect-based enterprises, we have butterfly farming.
Wow.
We have beekeeping, and we are trying to bring in edible insects as well.
Eh? Edible?
Insects.
Yes, yes.
Protein.
Yeah. I'm not the expert of that one, but there's an expert.
You will send your colleague.
Yes.
Because there are people here who I know eat insects.
Yes, there's an expert.
Some by mistake, some they are laughing very loudly.
Yes.
And
yes,
a fly enters there.
Yes.
But let me ask you about, so the theme this year for World Environment Day was Only One Earth. And I think what you're sharing about the work the National Museums of Kenya is doing in the Kaya Forest region of within those fragments really speaks to that. It's which is only one earth. That's the theme.
Yes.
So you're basically saying before we get to a point of crisis, before we get to a point where we've exhausted our natural resources and we've completely, you know, dilapidated?
Dilapidated.
Yeah. The area, you know, if, whether it is below ground, above ground, you're basically being proactive about going ahead of the problem.
Yes.
That's what it sounds like to me.
Yes, yes. And there's just, when you're doing your conservation, even tree enriching the forest or tree planting, before we do that, we have an audit of the entire biodiversity of those forests.
So, this is for people who just go and tree plant ovyo. Listen carefully.
Yes.
Yes.
We have an audit of those plants and animals and the ecology of that habitat.
Yes.
So we get to know how they are able to interact with one another. Because the plants have are stratified. You have those that are on the lower strata and others mid and others upper strata.
Yes.
So if you just go planting them, without considering how they will interact with one another above and below,
yes,
you could get into a crisis. Ooh. And again, plants have pollinators. Mm. When you take a plant away from its habitat, you're expecting it to be pollinated.
Mm-hmm.
So you don't know whether you have carried the pollinators with you. So then you will start thinking this plant is not producing seeds, but there's no pollinator
to carry to fertilize.
Are you feeling like you've gone back to class?
A lot that goes into afforestation and all that
tree planting.
Tree planting and all that. So we'll be back. We'll be discussing more with our jam master here, Dr. Joyce Mnyazi Jefwa. Here on The Jam with June Gashui, Martin Kariuki, and our Jam Master, Dr. Joyce Jefwa, here to tell us more about basically the environment, how we can, you know, survive in a forest. Planting trees that you're supposed to plant in areas that you're supposed to plant them in.
Yeah.
The insects you should be look out for, by
and
the way.
And leave be.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were saying that the ecosystem is not just the plant.
Uh-huh.
It's not just the air. Mm-hmm. It's not just the birds. It's uh-huh. even that kind of worm that you're like, ew. Or that kind of ant that has its role, but you are so irritated by it, you try to kill it.
That dung beetle doing its job.
So, Dr. Joyce, we were talking about this tree planting, and it's really made me think about how many times, you know, even corporates, because part of it is we are doing good for the environment, but this audit you've been talking about, knowing where to plant, which trees to plant, you know, must we always plant trees in a forest? Or can we plant them elsewhere?
Yeah, we can plant trees elsewhere, but you have to know what tree you're planting where, as mm-hmm. I have said.
Mm.
Because you have to take a holistic approach in revegetating the earth. Because things are interdependent. We are all interdependent. We are part of that biodiversity.
Yes.
That other biodiversity also needs to be considered in a way that, you know, you are not just thinking, I'm planting for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I'm planting for firewood. Because every biodiversity has a service that it is giving. And we can never know the importance of a service of every organism until it disappears.
Yes.
And some functions cannot be substituted by technology.
Mm.
They are just performed by those organisms. So therefore, when you're planting, you can plant at homestead, yes, but you must know what you're planting there. And you can enrich your forest, but you must know with which plants.
Okay.
You can bring in exotics because maybe they give quick solutions.
Mm-hmm.
But as you do that, you must also bring in the indigenous species. Because, for example, you might bring, I'll just give an example of a tree where no bird can nest.
Mm.
If you have noticed of late, birds don't nest in most of the trees that are planted.
Mm.
And yet birds are so important in regulating the insects that are pests to our diseases.
Mm.
So then if you plant the wrong trees and there are no birds around, you could have an insurgence of pests.
Pests, yeah. That would have been eaten by the birds.
So
yes.
which type of tree? The eucalyptus? I've had a lot of...
I don't want to mention because there are people who are doing their eucalyptus business. There are people who are doing
their... You don't want them to cry.
Yeah, yes. I'm just saying when you're planting, you must take into consideration this diversity.
Yeah.
And birds will not be there because if there's no seed for them to eat or fruit to eat, they will look for it elsewhere.
Mm.
So you have already removed the service of pollination from that region to another region.
Mm-hmm.
And if you pump your soil with so much fertilizer, you are also removing certain services that are performed by below ground biodiversity. In the soil, we have soil engineers, we have the decomposers, we have the... And they work on the soil structure. And they work on the minerals.
Who is a soil engineer?
It's earthworm is a soil engineer.
An earthworm.
And a termite is a soil engineer.
The tunnels.
Yes.
A mold's part of soil engineering.
Even rats, and even rats. The molds that burrow, they are also engineers.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you can you can pump those things and your soil will lose its structure.
Yeah.
Finally, and as you go on pumping pesticides and fertilizers, the bacteria that are used to glue soil particles also disappear. So your soil becomes like powder, such that when you put water, the water might easily float on the surface and it's not percolating into the soil because the bacteria is not there to glue. The fungus are not there to produce their threads to hold the soil particles together. The plants then cannot grow to hold the soil
and
further,
the roots,
to so that it does not just roll over where you have a landslide coming in. Yeah, so all these things are so interdependent. The below ground, the above ground, even the monkey you see roaming around is looking for its food because maybe you have removed it from the environment.
Yeah,
I understand.
So we
that.
Have to really
be careful.
Yeah, be
we
careful.
Only have one earth, guys.
Yeah.
So all organisms are important. Now, back to mushrooms.
Yes.
Just the nutritional value of mushrooms and if they can help us, you know nowadays I hear there's a lot of people, we're raising money for people who are hungry around the country, and if they can, mushrooms can actually be a superfood
yeah.
that can help us kill all this starvation nonsense in 2022.
Yeah, mushrooms are easy to grow, so anyone can grow them. There's a lot of youth that are picking up mushroom cultivation because all you need is a small structure. It can be a grass house, a mud house, a plastic house.
You don't need 4 acres of land.
No.
Martin has a lot of land.
No.
1 acre for trees,
no.
300, one acre for mushrooms.
No.
So a small area.
Just a small area, and you're able, and then you need agricultural residue. It can be maize stalks, maize cobs, rice straw, water hyacinth, coffee husks, banana leaves.
What do they do? What do the residue, what does it do?
They act as the substrate where you plant the mushroom in a bag or in a bucket or in a basket. You can innovate and use any type of container.
I can make mushrooms in either ndoo.
Yes, and you put it in the mushroom house and they will grow. You can innovate your containers and you will have mushrooms for sale, mushroom for food. They will substitute your protein. And they will also, they are better protein than
meat.
Yeah, the conditions.
So I can grow taller this way.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, so
wonderful.
So it's, Kenyans are cultivating them. We have quite a number of peri-urban farmers in Nairobi, in Western, in Coast. There are few people coming up cultivating mushrooms. So it can be good business for people who are from college and they don't have jobs, or they have jobs.
And it's affordable to start.
Yes, it's affordable for everybody.
Okay.
Yes, to start.
So if anybody was interested in getting information, is this one of the things you do? Do you have like an outreach desk where I've just finished college, I don't have a job, and I can walk to the National Museums and say, Dr. Joyce was talking on Capital FM.
Yes.
I want to do mushrooms. Where is she, or who can assist? Is that something that you offer?
Yes, we have a lab that makes the seed. Mm-hmm. That farmers purchase at a low price to produce their mushrooms.
Okay.
And we have young people who are managing the lab to produce the seed for cultivating mushrooms. So, yes, it's available.
I've seen Martin writing notes. Mm. We are going to eat mushroom pizza.
You know, funny enough.
About 6 months.
My mother is a mushroom farmer.
Is she really?
Yeah.
Why have you never sold mom's mushrooms here?
Well, then, we eat them
all. You eat all of the mushrooms?
It's more sustainable.
Then you bring us
subsistence.
Mushroom products.
We shall organize. Yeah, but thank you so much for coming.
Yes.
But one last question. One.
Mm-hmm.
We always ask this question, and this is, I hear it's mine, but I blame other people. Your 20-year-old self.
Yes.
Would you, do you have any regrets, or what would you tell your 20-year-old self?
I have no regrets. At my early age, I was everywhere wondering, is this the right thing?
Mm.
But I have no regrets. This is the best thing that I have done in my life.
Mm.
I have managed to do that which I thought should be done.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to even give it back to the society.
So a 20-year-old listening now, what would you tell them?
Yeah.
I'll tell them, just focus, be persistent. When you're asked to do something which you think you don't like, just do it.
Mm.
Because every knowledge is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
And every knowledge provides a solution somewhere. So don't go arguing and saying this is not what I like, you know, I should be doing this, because there are some people who see ahead of you the way things are going, and they could be guiding you into the right direction.
Wow.
Yes.
Beautiful.
There you go.
So profound.
Our jam master, Dr. Joyce Mnyazi Jeffua, a mushroom specialist.
Yes.
And it, what was it?
Mycorrhiza and mushroom specialist. Let me do that again. Mycorrhiza and mushroom specialist. Yes.
Thank you so much for stopping by. We have learned so much. I really hope one day we can actually go and have a show at the National Museums of Kenya.
Yeah. Let's can we come people. Visit you at work?
Yes.
Can
yes.
We are very noisy. Yes. Is it okay?
It's
come,
okay.
Come visit.
And you can meet the many of us. Yeah.
We'd love to.
Bring our capital kids to the museum. Yes. They learn all everything that's what's happening.
Yes.
You know,
let's
just
do that.
Some education.
Davina, are you listening? Danny, are
Ashley,
you listening? Ashley,
well.
Are you listening?
You know, we have to do this. We have to learn some more, learn about our environment, learn about the species, the plants, the world, everything, the whole ecosystem around our environment and how, you know, to survive naturally.
Yeah.
Not just keep on fertilizing everything.
Yes.